From Directions Magazine, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, November 27th, 2012. This weekly podcast brings you the latest information on geospatial technology and all things location. This is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief today at the Autodesk University Conference in Las Vegas, Nevada.
And this is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor in Somerville, Massachusetts.
Maps and mapping technology provided the wear factor before and after Hurricane Sandy slammed into the eastern seaboard of the U.S. But the subsequent flooding in high-density urban areas like New York City presents special challenges. The New York Times presented many maps that illustrated these areas of concern for residents and businesses. We'll take a look at how that publication prepared the public pre- and post-hurricane and discuss if we can learn how to better present geographic information when the next disaster strikes. But first, a word from our sponsor. Directions Magazine, already the global leader in geospatial technology news, has launched Directions Magazine India, featuring a weekly newsletter and topical webinars specifically about the growth of GIS in India. Point your browser to directionsmag.in today. And Directions will bring its Location Intelligence Conference to Brazil. On June 19th, 2013, LI Brazil will be co-located with the MundoGeo Connect Conference in Sao Paulo. More information can be found at locationintelligence.net. Thanks, and be sure to tell a friend about Directions. So, Dina, I was particularly impressed with how the New York Times presented maps of the affected areas, both pre- and post-Hurricane Sandy. I had the opportunity to be in New Jersey last week surveying the damage of our family's house at the Jersey Shore, and I picked up a copy of the Times and found an incredibly detailed map of the areas impacted by the flood, showing a color-coded map of water depth by building footprint in all five boroughs of the city. Some of these data were supplied by FEMA, while other sources included socialexplorer.com. And building shapes were provided by NYC Open Data. Times readers were able to submit photos of areas that had flooding, and those too were posted on a map. I really liked the way that that the Times published a map of possible flood evacuation zones, and that you could type in your address to see if you were going to be advised to evacuate. There were also maps showing where wastewater treatment plants were in flood zones, giving residents an idea of whether their water supplies would be affected. And of course, there were maps of the transportation infrastructure that were vulnerable to flooding, you know, obviously, such as the subways. And I think this ability for a leading publication to inform the public through mapping technology is not just admirable, but really sets an example for other publications. I don't know, we've seen some of this before, like TV stations doing where there were fires in the LA area and where you could go for shelters. In these dense urban areas, I think these areas present a real challenge, but also opportunities for geographic information to really support emergency efforts and gives everyone, I think, the ability to take personal responsibility for actions that they need to take, really, to survive in many cases. Let me get your impression of the Times mapping coverage and what did it do well and what should we in the community do to support the challenges facing these dense urban areas?
I agree. I thought the Times did a terrific job finding the resources, putting the resources together, putting them in an interface that was navigable. The big question I have is, did people use them? I mean, everything you said about being able to see if the local treatment plant was vulnerable and maybe you wouldn't have water, would people think to even look at that? First of all, think to look at the New York Times for some maps to give them information. Two, ask the question that you just did about the water treatment plant and whether that will impact my ability to have clean water, and then act on that by either filling up the bathtub or getting out or whatever. And that's really the question that I keep coming back to, because as we're learning, in any of these kinds of life-threatening situations, all news is local, right? You need to know about your block, your part of town, your town. Anything beyond that is noise. And the trick is to get people to those correct resources and then to get them to act. While I love what the New York Times did, my question is really, did it help?
I think what has to happen is there does have to be a change in the mindset of people's use of these data. And I take it back to where we are currently with the use of mobile technology, and I think it starts there. We are becoming much more comfortable with using location-based applications. I would like to see some of these maps that the Times presented, and I don't know if they were, but presented in a mobile format, and maybe the mobile version of the Times did that. But it has to become personal, right? It has to be one where I take, I can look at this information and I can take personal responsibility. I agree with you. I don't think people looked at the location of water treatment plants and made the immediate connection that, oh my gosh, my water is going to be impacted. But that's exactly what people should be doing. And maybe they'll do that in the future. But there is a little bit of a disconnect between that's my water treatment plant and it's in my area. I don't think that linkage was made.
Let's put a name on that. Let's bring that out. That's called geographic literacy.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah, very good.
So
yeah, absolutely.
That has to happen. Then we have to get people to the right resources, the right data sets, the right authoritative data sets that are up to date and that they can trust and that are hyperlocal. And then they can act. So we're building up a stack here, which is tougher and tougher to climb.
Okay, so then that presents the question is, what do we need to do to support geographic literacy? Where is it that it's going to be taught? I think this is a perfect...
Teachable moment?
Teachable moment, absolutely. Get it into the schools. Look what kids ought to be looking at. Yeah, I think this is a teachable moment.
To be perfectly frank, this is a teachable moment across the board. It's a teachable moment for geographic literacy K to 12 college, graduate school researchers, absolutely. It is a teachable moment for the media, as you suggested. The New York Times is really leading the way. And finally, I will suggest this is a teachable moment for social media. And let me go to social media for a second. I was not in the worst hit areas of this, but certainly my city was prepared and knew something was coming. The most valuable resource for me during that storm, during that evening, was our 311 Twitter feed from my city,
which continuously made
information available about what was going on, where you could shelter, where power was out, where there was a fire. Is that something you wouldn't think about? But we had some power lines go down. There was a fire on one side of town. And then, and this again, I could not have asked for anything better, was a phone call from our reverse calling from the city, from the mayor, it was the actual mayor, saying, here's the state of affairs. Yes, we had some damage to City Hall. Yes, we had damage to the high school. He talked about the fire. He talked about how to get resources, where to go. And I felt very up to date with the most possible local information I could ever get.
Yeah, I'm really glad you brought that up because I was going to talk about that too. Since I've got property down at the Jersey Shore, the way that I was able to stay in touch with just how much damage was done to the area, I set a Twitter feed to with a hashtag Mantaloking, which is where our property is. I was looking on a Facebook page called Jersey Shore Hurricane. Wonderful pictures kept me right down there. What was really damaged? So that is exactly how I was able to understand better what the impacted areas were. And it was through Twitter that I got a link to the NOAA website that was doing air photo reconnaissance of the beach properties. And I took full advantage. I went to exactly where my property was. The imager was about 1 meter resolution. I saw my property. I saw that it was still there. And while I couldn't assess the total damages that were done, I at least knew that I had a property that was standing. Twitter, Facebook were the absolute means by which I stayed in touch with what was going on.
Right. So social media, and I guess the lesson to learn there is to get those hashtags set up. We had a specific one for our city for the storm, some Sandy, Somerville Sandy, and that I was tracking that. And what that sort of served as a gathering point for information coming in from people who didn't know where to report something. And again, that was being monitored by our 311 people on Twitter, who said, thank you for this information about a tree down across the road. We have forwarded that to the DPW.
Yeah. So let's circle back. We've got social media playing a huge part of information gathering. We've got a need to educate everybody about the applications of geographic information. And it probably ought to be deployed in the context of putting it in the hands of the people that need to have. I suggest mobile is an absolute necessity for everybody to be aware of if they're not already. I mean, we've got, 3 million iPads were sold within 3 days when Apple launched the iPad mini. People more and more are becoming in tune with a device in their hand that will get them up-to-date information. So a huge teachable moment, I think, for the community, especially in these large, dense urban areas where there are challenges from a transportation network standpoint. Now, as you indicated, a tree is down. Don't use this road. People need real-time information, and geospatial is going to support all of this.
And I guess the final point I would make sort of goes back to the media, and that's that as much as we like to think these maps were being used by the people in those potentially to be flooded areas, an awful lot of the use of these maps, I guarantee you, was voyeurism. Right? Mm-hmm. We're somewhere else safe, and we're checking in to see what's happening. And I'm not saying that's necessarily a bad thing, but that, I think, is part of why the New York Times, as a national newspaper, and many of these other outlets were making available links to these maps and maps from other organizations. And what I think is the least useful for the people in the thick of things are these long, long lists of links to resources with no mm-hmm. metadata, with no detail, with no geographic breakout about who's providing the authoritative data for your little corner of the world. That's what we need more than anything, and that's when you need to go local to your local radio station, your local TV station, your local paper, your local government.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. So, yeah, just to wrap up, I think kudos to the Times, but a teachable moment for all of us. Well, that's all the time we have for today. From us here at Directions Magazine, I'll point you to the number of upcoming webinars we have during the month of December, over 6 webinars we've got presented here on a variety of topics. Tune in at your leisure. Go to geospatialwebinars.com to find out more information about upcoming webinars from Directions Magazine. If you'd like to comment about today's podcast, you can write to us at editors@directionsmag.com. Leave a comment where this podcast is posted, or send us a tweet at Directions Mag. Thanks for joining us today, and be sure to tell a friend.